Today is the 23rd day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here with you today. Grateful to be here with you today and every day that we get to be together as we continue to take journeys through the stories that are in the scriptures and, well, through the stories of our lives. And somehow how remarkably they parallel one another, and the lessons are there for us. And we are about to move into some brand new territory that we have not encountered before. We concluded the book of Joshua. And so, I mean, we've gone Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We've gone through Joseph. We've gone through the story of Egypt and Pharaoh. We've gone through the wilderness journey. We've met Moses and been under his leadership, and then Joshua and his leadership into the promised land and the conquest of the promised land. And that brings us here to where we are now. Joshua is dead. So Moses and Joshua, these are like prophetic, priestly leaders. They speak on behalf of God. And people may grumble against that, but then God shows up and affirms it. And so they trust in their leaders. Now, they don't have this. Like, they don't have this kind of prophetic, singular leader that has that kind of voice and that kind of authority. So now what? They're in the promised land. They're not going toward it anymore. They're in it. Now what? That brings us to the book of Judges. And when I was growing up, before I ever read the book of Judges, and it's easy enough to just assume this is the book of judgment. Like, these are the judges, and this is the doom and gloom part of the Bible. But that isn't its purpose at all. There's plenty of doom and gloom, but that isn't its purpose at all. So, children of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. His children become known as the children of Israel. From those children become the tribes of Israel, freed from slavery under Moses, which we just talked about. All of the wilderness, finally crossing the Jordan. And Joshua leads, and now, now the land is settled. Not every square inch of the promised land is conquered, but the tribes have been granted land as their inheritances and have moved in. Now, without a dominant leader appointed, the tribes are going to begin to do what this book tells us. And it's like a major theme. We need to like look for this, listen for this. Everyone was doing whatever seemed right in their own eyes. So, there is no dominant leader. They are in their promised land. They are living in their inheritance. They are organizing themselves in whatever way that they want. And everyone is doing whatever is right in their own eyes. I guess in one way you could say this is ultimate freedom. In another way it becomes ultimate bondage, as we'll see. This will bring several challenges. So Judges begins to bring up to the forefront this pattern that has marked ancient Israel's existence. Judges is like this brief retelling of the next several centuries. This happened in Genesis. We moved through so much time so quickly. Judges moves through several centuries past Joshua's lifetime. And in it we'll find the story of Israel's slow and steady abandonment. Like leaving. Like allowing the relationship with God to become stale. To become distracted. To become irrelevant. To begin to get boring. To start looking for others. To start looking at others. To start opening opportunities. To start moving in other directions. That ultimately led them to betray their covenant with their God. And over time, they will begin to suffer the repercussions of their choices and the actions that they took from their choices. Things that they were warned about. Things that they promised before God in covenant not to do. And in their misery, then they'll cry out to God in repentance. And God will answer by sending a leader who will rise up. And this leader will be known as a judge. And they will rescue and lead the people forward. And then they will slip away again, basically. Judges is also this book of change and transition. It covers a lot of ground between Joshua's death and the time when Israel is granted its first king and then becomes a monarchy. And so we'll notice that its texture is kind of different from the other books that we've covered. This is very much not a pretty book, not all of it at all. Most of it, in fact. But Judges gives us plenty to think about in our own lives. With numerous little choices, little things that pulled Israel ultimately in all kinds of big, dark places, very unhealthy directions that ultimately led them to break their promises and covenant. And these small things lead us to big choices in our lives today. And because we're moving through centuries of time quickly as we move through Judges, we get to see kind of something that unfolds very slowly, how that looks in more fast motion, to see like the cause and effect that keeps happening in our own lives. So with that, we begin. Judges chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 9. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Which tribe should go first to attack the Canaanites?" The Lord answered, "Judah, for I have given them victory over the land." The men of Judah said to their relatives from the tribe of Simeon, "Join with us to fight against the Canaanites living in the territory allotted to us. Then we will help you conquer your territory." So the men of Simeon went with Judah. When the men of Judah attacked, the Lord gave them victory over the Canaanites and Perizzites, and they killed 10,000 enemy warriors at the town of Bezek. While at Bezek, they encountered King Adoni-Bezek and fought against him, and the Canaanites and Perizzites were defeated. Adoni-Bezek escaped, but the Israelites soon captured him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. Adoni-Bezek said, "I once had 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off, eating scraps from under my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did to them." They took him to Jerusalem, and he died there. The men of Judah attacked Jerusalem and captured it, killing all its people and setting the city on fire. Then they went down to fight the Canaanites living in the hill country, the Negev and the western foothills. Judah marched against the Canaanites in Hebron, formerly called Kiriath Arba, defeating the forces of Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there, they went to fight against the people living in the town of Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, "I will give my daughter Aksah in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer." Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother Kenaz, was the one who conquered it. So Aksah became Othniel's wife. When Aksah married Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. As she got down off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What's the matter?" She said, "Let me have another gift. You have already given me land in the Negev. Now please give me springs of water too." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. When the tribe of Judah left Jericho, the city of palms, the Kenites, who were descendants of Moses' father-in-law, traveled with them into the wilderness of Judah they settled among the people there near the town of Arad in the Negev. Then Judah joined with Simeon to fight against the Canaanites living in Ziphath, and they completely destroyed the town. So the town was named Hormah. In addition, Judah captured the towns of Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron, along with their surrounding territories. The Lord was with the people of Judah, and they took possession of the hill country. But they failed to drive out the people living in the plains who had iron chariots. The town of Hebron was given to Caleb as Moses had promised. Caleb drove out the people living there, who were descendants of the three sons of Anak. The tribe of Benjamin, however, failed to drive out the Jebusites, who were living in Jerusalem. So to this day, the Jebusites live in Jerusalem among the people of Benjamin. The descendants of Joseph attacked the town of Bethel, and the Lord was with them. They sent men to scout out Bethel, formerly known as Luz. They confronted a man coming out of the town and said to him, "Show us a way into the town, and we will have mercy on you." So he showed them a way in, and they killed everyone in the town, except that man and his family. Later, the man moved to the land of the Hittites, where he built a town. He named it Luz, which is its name to this day. The tribe of Manasseh failed to drive out the people living in Beth-shan, Taanach, Dor, Ibleam, Megiddo, and all their surrounding settlements, because the Canaanites were determined to stay in that region. When the Israelites grew stronger, they forced the Canaanites to work as slaves, but they never did drive them completely out of the land. The tribe of Ephraim failed to drive out the Canaanites living in Gezer, so the Canaanites continued to live there among them. The tribe of Zebulun failed to drive out the residents of Kitron and Nahalal, so the Canaanites continued to live among them. But the Canaanites were forced to work as slaves for the people of Zebulun. The tribe of Asher failed to drive out the residents of Akkol, Sidon, Alab, Akzib, Helba, Afik, and Rehob. Instead, the people of Asher moved in among the Canaanites, who controlled the land, for they failed to drive them out. Likewise, the tribe of Naphtali failed to drive out the residents of Beth-Shemesh and Beth-Anath. Instead, they moved in among the Canaanites, who controlled the land. Nevertheless, the people of Beth-Shemesh and Beth-Anath were forced to work as slaves for the people of Naphtali. As for the tribe of Dan, the Amorites forced them back into the hill country and would not let them come down into the plains. The Amorites were determined to stay in Mount Herez, Aijalon, and Shealbim. But when the descendants of Joseph became stronger, they forced the Amorites to work as slaves. The boundary of the Amorites ran from Scorpion Pass to Selah and continued upward from there. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, "I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give your ancestors, and I said I would never break my covenant with you. For your part, you are not to make any covenants with the people living in this land. Instead, you are to destroy their altars. But you disobeyed my command. Why did you do this? So now, I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you." When the angel of the Lord finished speaking to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly. So they called the place Bochim, which means weeping, and they offered sacrifices there to the Lord. After Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land he had been allocated at Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. north of Mount Gaash. Luke 21:29-22:13. Then he gave them this illustration. Notice the fig tree, or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness, and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware, like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times, and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Every day, Jesus went to the temple to teach, and each evening he returned to spend the night on the Mount of Olives. The crowds gathered at the temple early each morning to hear him. The festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. The leading priests and teachers of religious law were plotting how to kill Jesus, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went to the leading priests and captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted, and they promised to give him money. So he agreed and began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so they could arrest him. The crowds weren't around. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. Psalm 90:91. Book 4. A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Lord, through all the generations you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." For you, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear, and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom. O Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love, so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. Let us, your servants, see you work again. Let our children see your glory. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Proverbs 13, 24 and 25. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. The godly eat to their heart's content, but the belly of the wicked goes hungry. Father, we thank you for your word. Another day, another chance, another opportunity. And we are grateful, deeply grateful for that. And as we now migrate into yet another complexion, another part of the story of this family of Abraham, the children of Israel, as we enter the time of Judges, we can very much, if we will zoom out, see how these different seasons parallel our seasons and the choices that we make. And so there's no question that we have had seasons where we have done what is right in our own eyes, or done what is wrong, knowing it is wrong in our own eyes, and betraying ourselves and everyone else. We know what it's like to go our own way. We'll get to kind of see this at on a macro level. And watch you never give up. But also watch you allow what the intent of the will of the people is to happen the same way you do in our lives. So Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth as we move into the book of Judges and meet them. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, like I say pretty much every day. I've said it like thousands of times over, well, these 21 years that we're going through. But I've been mentioning for a long time, but especially now, we're like going to move in. We're going to move into this new space. Brand new app, brand new platform, brand new, well, literally brand new everything coming our way. It's not brand new. It's taken years to develop. But I started talking about that yesterday, and I really have a very significant goal to migrate, to move us into our new space as we reach the conclusion of this month of April, so that we can go forward from here and the new platform. And so get the Daily Audio Bible app. Make sure you have that from the app store that works with your device. You'll be getting kind of the current app. But then as we flip the triggers and it's time to update, that'll make it maybe a little easier for you. Because we will be moving forward and leaving behind old technology and moving into new technology. And so just taking a little minute here and there over the next few days. Because really, you know, I mean, like the goal at this point will be that Tuesday we'll wake up and be moved. And so we'll talk through that. That's the goal. That's the plan. We've had plans. We've had our best laid plans in the past. And it can be a tricky thing. But we're pretty confident that we're going forward. So I just want to tell a couple of little things that are in this new app. Just a couple of little things, because we're just going to do a little bit at a time as we move in. But there's just a couple of things. Obviously, it's going to play the Daily Audio Bible. Obviously, it'll play all the different Daily Audio Bible channels, like Daily Audio Bible Kids, or Daily Audio Bible Chronological, or Psalms, or Proverbs, or Espanol, or any of the languages. I mean, that's kind of a given. And the other kind of components that are in the app currently, where you can read along with what's being read, that's all baked in there. Reformatted, looks nicer, but it's there. And then the ability to journal, take quick notes, write down some things as they are happening. That's been in the app for a long time, although it's been really, really troublesome. It's not troublesome anymore. Very stable. And over the years, as you go through the Bible, you will be able to kind of go back to different days, maybe even the same day on different years, and just see the way things have hit. It'll just organize all that, and you can view all of the thoughts that you have had and have chronicled. So those components that have been there a long time are really beautiful, really stable. There's a brand new home screen, because as you kind of onboard into the new app, you can pick and follow the channels that you're trying to maybe mostly stay in tune with, so that you can just at a glance just open up the app and hit the button, and the next day of the channels that you're wanting to listen to will just be ready for you and play. Obviously, if you need to go back, all that's very, very easy enough to do. But there's a new home screen that sort of at a glance shows you your progress through the Bible, different things about, you know, your activity in the community and the prayer wall and stuff like that, as well as the latest episodes, just all that kind of encouraging information right there at a glance as we come into the app. So these things have been there. Like, they have been part of the app, but they're definitely in a more stable part of the app now. Let me tell you about a couple of things that have been dreams to be a part of the app, but in some cases have taken a decade, like the one I'm going to tell you now. Has taken a decade and really, truly starting over to be able to build the technology that we needed to see this through. So Promised Land is a series of films that we have had at the Daily Audio Bible for a very long time. And it's been kind of an ever-expanding library of biblical sites. What they look like now. What the archaeology, or even if they're still vibrant cities, what it looks like now in these places. And so that began in Israel. And literally, we filmed there for 5 years. Stayed over past trips, went places that are named in the Bible that are part near impossible to get to. I mean, there are places that it took years to like keep trying and keep trying and keep trying to get to because they're so remote and so difficult. So we've had the Promised Land films. We had those back when DVDs were the thing, back when Blu-rays and high definition became a thing, and then obviously digital downloads. We've had those as we've expanded those. But they were never really filmed or made to be like a Blu-ray. Even though tens of thousands of people have been able to enjoy them in that format, it was never really made for that. It was made to eventually be a part of the Daily Audio Bible app. And so we have continued to film, and I think we had about 75 specific locations filmed in Israel. Then last year, we kind of followed the book of Acts and the journeys of Paul and also the Apostle John, taking us through Turkey, through Greece, through Malta, and through Italy, and filmed another like 35 locations. And this is a very, very, very time intensive thing to kind of build this library. Very, very, very time intensive. To do the research, do the scripts, film all of the locations, edit, pull it all together, you know, format it correctly, everything. It's just it's a job, huge. So, there was another like, I think we got about 90% of the places that were named in the New Testament in that one kind of swatch. Those have all been edited. So those are all in the Promised Land Films world now. And then this last year when the war in Israel started, we were in Jordan also filming biblical locations for this same purpose. And those are being edited now. And so there's like another 15 locations there. So we are amassing all of the places in the Bible over time that are named in the Bible that exist. Very cool. And I do believe at this point we have the most extensive modern library of biblical locations that exist anywhere. That was all started over a decade ago to hopefully someday end up in the Daily Audio Bible app. So it is. So it is. When we get into the new 2.0 app, all of the Promised Land films, all of the films of all of the biblical locations that we have gone to, painstakingly shot and filmed and edited, they are all there in the watch section. It's a brand new section in the app, the watch section. You can view all of them. You can view all of them in order if you want. I've done that. I love that kind of stuff. I love the history and the archaeology. So you can watch all of them. But they are now contextualized. So when we go to, for example, today's reading in the new app, the 2.0 app, the reading will be there. Obviously, we can read along, follow along, journal, listen. We can also scroll down any additional media that is connected to that reading will appear there. And so right now, what's being baked in is all these locations. When we read about a place, we can then look in and view and visit that place and see what it looks like and imagine the story that we are reading. And as we move through the Bible, there's pretty much not any day that we don't have the opportunity to dive deeper into the actual geography that we were visiting in the scriptures on that given day. That has been, like I said, a decade-long dream. Because for me, you know, the Bible is part of the rhythm of my life, obviously. But so much of what has made the Bible more impactful, but also more true to what its meaning is, to understand truly and not bend it in any sort of way, is context. And part of context is, where did this happen? And when did this happen? And to whom did this happen? How would they have understood these things? And so, just being able to pull this now together in a dynamic way, where every day we have the opportunity to go a little deeper, just connect it, connect the stories, connect it to our lives just a little deeper. I think that's, well, I mean, we have just invested heavily into making that a reality. And it has helped me. I have very much enjoyed all the beta versions and moving through and just watching and reconnecting the story to my own life and my own story. So, brand new feature. Very much looking forward to that. Very much looking forward to you having that. And this is all like being given away. This is all for us to grow. Like, this is who we are as a community. Some of the most rich biblical resources that exist, because we've built them here, are baked in here in this community to help us grow together. So that's one feature. The other one that I want to talk about today is in the same section. So we'll kind of knock this out and then we'll talk about other things in the coming days. The same section. So there's this new section called Watch. And then in the Watch section are different categories of things that are now in the Daily Audio Bible app to watch. The Promised Land films that I just unpacked for us, they're in that section. You can watch all of them there. There are a couple of other sections in there, two that I'm going to talk about now. One of them is biblical intros to the Bible's books. We do that every time we get to a new book. We talk about it. We talk about what we're going to be reading. And we spent months last year developing video intros in a dramatic fashion. Really spectacular. Like, the technology that has come creatively in the last few years has allowed things to be created that we would have never, I mean, just never been able to really do. And so we've used a lot of technology to create video book introductions, dramatized video book introductions to each book of the Bible, all 66 books. So you can watch all of those in the Watch section, but they also will appear in our reading every time we come to a new book. We'll just scroll down. There may be some biblical locations that we can zoom into, but also the new territory, the new book of the Bible that we are moving into will be highlighted there. We can dive into it, visualize it, just kind of immerse ourselves in it a little bit better. And making those, man, I made those all last summer and fall. very, very, very arduous, tedious learning experience to script that all out. And that was one of my main missions technologically last year, to learn and kind of keep up with the arts, which is kind of where I come from. So very, very excited for us to have that as well. So a couple of new video things that you can watch in the watch section, but they will always appear in the daily readings. And then lastly, in the watch section is another category called DAB films. These are some devotional films from different books, like the Reframe book had a leaders small group series. The Sneezing Jesus book also had all these. A lot of films were shot around that to kind of create like parable type experiences where we can just take a deeper dive and zoom in. And those have just never really been available outside of like, you know, publishing, buying them at stores and stuff like that. But we're just gonna give them away. They're just in the new app. And hopefully they will enrich your life. Looking forward to your feedback. All right, so that's as far as I'm going to go today. Just a bite at a time. Little by little, we'll get ourselves all moved into this. But the watch section is a brand new section in the app that is going to connect us in so many new ways. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But that's it for today. Brian, I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters from Daily Audio Bible. It is Sunday, April 19th. I have just heard prayer and encouragement line, and I wanted you to all know this is your sister, Northeast Kneebender, to know that I heard every single one of your prayer requests, your praise reports, and I have been praying along with you. I am glad to have heard from Rebecca from Michigan that you will be moving on the 25th of April. I will be praying that you will get help and it will not be so stressful, and that you do find a body of Christians to fellowship with. And our sister from Junk to Treasure, I'm praying still, my sister, for all your needs for your children. I'm praying that you got your roof settled and that all the electrical and heat issues are being taken care of. I just wanted you all to know that I have been listening to your prayers. And from Texas, moving to Knoxville, Tennessee, my sister, I'm praying for you. And Heather from Paxby, praying for this issue with your divorce and your two brothers, one you lost and one that needs a job. I have a son, and he is also, I've brought him up before the throne of grace many times. So I ask you, there's a lot of us needing help with our children, as well as many needing work, help. So I am praying. I love you, my family. God bless you. Northeast Kneebender.
Hello, this is Nancy from Louisiana. I'm calling to pray for Jackie from Oregon. Jackie mentioned in today's prayer requests, that she was dealing with anxiety and panic disorder. And I just wanted to pray for you, Jackie, because I believe that God led me to. So in the name of Jesus, I first of all bind that spirit that would cause you to feel panicky and out of control. And I want to remind you that you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I pray that the Lord God in His mercy would heal the physical symptoms that come on you that you identify as panicky feeling, and that He would infuse you with hope that He has your future now and as you face retirement. I praise God with you that God has healed and resolved some of the physical problems that you and your husband have had. It's in Jesus' name that I offer you this prayer. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Saved by Grace in California. I'd like to lift up the young lady who just got out of prison. This was on March 30, and she needed prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your child, Father God, who is calling out to you for your strength, your guidance, and your courage, Father God, to walk this walk of faith, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would lead her to a Bible-believing, Christ-teaching church, Father God, where she can continue to get the strength that she needs through your word and the power of surrounding with your people, Father God. I plead the blood of Jesus over her, Father, and I cancel every assignment that the enemy has planned against her in the name of Jesus, and I block it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of her life, Lord, that will give you glory and that will bring others to saving grace through Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen.
Hi, this is Ola Bingbe from Ireland calling in for Carla from New Hampshire. You called in to ask for prayers. You are the caregiver for your husband who does dialysis every night, and you're working three jobs. And you said you were tired. You said that almost five times on that call. And I just want to pray the strength of God into you. I want to pray the grace of God to keep you and cover you. I want to pray the help of God to continue to surround you. We thank God for the helpers that He's already placed in your life. You talked about your neighbors. We ask that help will never be far from you, that you will never be found helpless in your time of need. I pray for you the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, that you will understand and have wisdom to know how to use your time effectively in this season of life. You will know how and when to do things, what to drop, what to pick up, what to stop, what to start, what to continue, that the Lord will help you prioritize through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, our greatest helper, our teacher, our guide, our counselor, will fill you today with everything that you need for this season of life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that your strength will not fail you. I pray that you continue to have faith in God, that you will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the love of the Lord and the work of the Lord, knowing very well that your labor is not in vain. Carla, your labor is not in vain over your husband. Be encouraged by that in Jesus' name. Love you.
Hey, Dabbers. God bless you. I noticed lots of concerns right now with cancer. This is David from Blanco. I just wanted to send some encouragement. The bottom line is cry out to the Lord. I cried out to the Lord 2.5 years ago with a diagnosis of cancer that just looked not very good. And He answered me in ways that I never considered. Literally, I heard a voice in my mind say, don't meet evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. And that set me on a journey to figure out just what that meant. And I changed my diet. I changed my environment. I sought out places that I hadn't forgiven people. It went on and on. But that was 2.5 years ago. I've been cancer-free, no evidence of disease. I'm actually a lot healthier than I was when I started. And if you cry out to the Lord, He'll answer you too. I don't know what it looks like. Traditional medicine works for a lot of people. I wish I could connect and show you some of the things I learned, because even in traditional medicine, they're very, very helpful. They just help restore your body, get it working the way God designed it. But have hope, cry out to the Lord. The answers are out there. The number one thing you can do is take full responsibility for your health care. Ask questions. Talk to your doctor. Make sure you understand what they're recommending. Make sure you understand how effective your treatment is. For example, the treatment that was recommended for me only had a 50% binding rate for cancer, but my doctor didn't tell me that. They were just like, oh yeah, we'll do this and maybe it'll work. Well, no, it doesn't completely work. It doesn't address the cancer still circulating in your body. So anyway, not to just fire hose you guys, I love you guys. I want to send you encouragement. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Mike D. I am calling from Salem, Oregon. Today is April the 20th. This is my second year listening to the DAB. I've called in before with some encouragement for people, but I've never called in for prayer. So today I am calling in for prayer. I would like to request prayer for my wife. Her name is Tyreen. She goes by Ty. And over the last year, Ty has been dealing with some issues in her back. She has a spinosis in her back, and she has been going through physical therapy. She goes to the pool, which often, which helps out, but she still deals with back pain. Also, she has some issues with her knee. She is in need of a knee replacement. And so I would like to ask if the community will please pray for my wife, Ty. Please pray for her back and her knee. I just pray for God to totally heal her. And at the very least, I just pray that she will be able to get an operation here soon. So thank you, brothers and sisters, and God bless you.